Rachel, could you push it? Shut the door. The latch off. Let's turn together to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and to chapter 15. And our text tonight is verse 13, John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's our subject tonight, greater love hath no man. You may remember we looked at this for the last few weeks, these chapters from chapter 13 into chapter 15 now, and up to chapter 17. It all takes place in the upper room. The upper room which was reserved by God for the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples to take the Last Supper. To have that Last Supper before the Lord Jesus went to the cross the next day. And as the upper room discourse draws closer to an end, there is very much here about love and hate in tonight's passage. The example Jesus set us in verses 12 and 13. We read, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Ah, but here is how you are to love one another, as I have loved you. It's quite easy when you say to somebody in the world, well, it's good that you should love one another. And yes, they say, yes, we do. We're kind, we're peaceable, we're families. We feel great affection for other people, not just our immediate family, but others that we know, friends. We love our friends. We love all those that are good to us and love us. Ah, but the Lord Jesus, his standard is, as I have loved you. And as we shall see and as we know, the love that the Lord Jesus has for us is far greater than we've ever envisaged having for anybody else. It's a marvellous love. It's an amazing love. It's a love for the unlovely and the unloved and those that are never going to love him in return unless their hearts are melted to do so. So this is the commandment, that you love one another. Elsewhere in these verses Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. There was a story of a man who went to a church, and somebody said to him, well, you know, we've got to test you. How many commandments are there? And he said, oh, 11. And they said, 11? You can't seriously think there are 11. And he said, yes, there are 11. And they said, well, you're preaching here next Sunday. Well, if that's all you know, I don't suppose we'll be calling you to be our pastor. And he stood up on the following Sunday and he said, and here's my text, the 11th commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And of course the church were ashamed. I don't know if that's a true story, but it illustrates what we're saying here. It's a new commandment, and yet it's not new. It's the old commandment fulfilled. But the difference is that the Lord now gives the ability. And the love that Christians show for each other doesn't grow in common ground. The love that Christians have for the Lord doesn't come naturally. But the love Christians have for each other is far greater than any love that exists in the world. You're to love one another. It's the greatest witness in the world when Christians love one another. Our purpose tonight is to try to put to people, to men and women, those here and those that might hear this on our website, the fact that you need to come to the love of Jesus Christ, to know him. But once you do, well, you will love all who love the Lord Jesus. You'll want to be with them. You'll want to meet them. You'll want their best. And you'll love those that you've never seen. We love those who suffer for the sake of the gospel. We've never seen them. And for most in the world, it's a fairly non-event. But we feel for them because Christ loved us. But the greatest example that we see here is in verse 13. This is the text that we've taken for tonight. The text is, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we need to think about what that verse means. The friends. Who are the friends? The one who lays down his life is Christ, but the friends. And we read about these friends in Romans chapter 5, and they were his enemies. That a man should love his friends, well, that's a remarkable thing. But Jesus loved us before we were ever friends, when we were yet enemies. And we read in Romans chapter 5 that we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And then, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, that's perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. So, yes, a man lays down his life for his friends, but who are these friends? Well, if you or I are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, such that he laid down his life for us, remember that he loved us when we were enemies. And if we're still outside of the kingdom of God, if still we haven't come to know that joy of being saved, of being forgiven, being brought into fellowship with God, we're still, the Bible says, at enmity with God. Well, Christ loved us when we were enemies. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And the friends, why, they are the ones that hate him, the ones that he sees to be friends. But he loved us before ever we became friends, before ever you consider the gospel of Christ and start to repent and to feel your sin and turn to him by faith, before ever there is that even remotest spark of love for Christ, we're his enemies. And Christ loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. But the second thing to consider is, who is this friend who loves his friends? The one who lays down his life. Well, it's none other than the most aggrieved person in the universe. In fact, outside of the universe. The one who created the universe. He is the one who created all things. The Bible teaches us at the beginning of this very gospel, John's gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the baby who was born at Bethlehem, not only the one who came to lay down his life and save us, but he's the one who created the universe. It was into the hands of the second person in the Trinity that God placed the work. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in the one Godhead. But it was Christ, the second person. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And he made man. He made him in his own image. And this is Christ. And man whom he has made has turned and spat in his very face. Man whom he made turned against him, rebelled. And to this day there is deep-seated rebellion in the hearts of men, women and young people against such a God who created us. Not only did he create us, but he preserved the world. He keeps it going. It's only the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ that all things consist and continue. And we've hated him. We've turned against him. We've rebelled against the one that loved us. He is the friend. Christ, the aggrieved party. When there is a reconciliation between people who've fallen out in some way, you need certain things to happen. There needs to be, first of all, an approach from one side to the other. And you know how it is with us. I didn't start it, you started it. No, I didn't start it, you started it. And where there's a dispute, there you sometimes need an arbitrator to come along and say, well, who did start it? Doesn't matter. Let's get together. Let's work out terms of peace. But you really don't expect between two grieving and warring parties in the world, the person who is the one definitely the aggrieved, the one who has been insulted and robbed, him to make the first move. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ is the aggrieved party. He's the one. He's never done anything to hurt us. He's the one who created us and gave us all the opportunity in the world to know his love and his mercy. But he's the aggrieved party. He's the one that we have turned against and rebelled against, and he has made the first move. He has stepped out of heaven into this earth in order to take our place, our condemnation, and to suffer and to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He is the friend who is, the Bible says, sticks closer than a brother. He is the one who loved us before ever we had a thought of him, and certainly any thought of loving him. But then the action, what is the action? He laid down his life. Oh, you know, there were wicked men who conspired against the Lord Jesus Christ. Wicked men that he came to give opportunity to mankind, and they conspired against him. What did he do to deserve that? Well, he went about doing good. The Lord Jesus Christ lived for 33 years. And during the first 29 and a half of those years, he is in comparative obscurity. We don't read much apart from when he was 12 and he went to the temple with his parents. But when he's 29 and a half, he embarks upon his public ministry. And he goes out and he starts to gather disciples together. These disciples that now he speaks to in the upper room and says, love one another. But he came into the world and he came to lay down his life. This is the action of the Lord Jesus Christ. These wicked people, the men who hated him, they were jealous of him. They saw that people were going to him and listening to his words, and the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders of the Jews, they conspired together. They planned and they sought ways. They had difficulty because the more time went by, the more popular Jesus was with the ordinary people. And these men were very powerful, but they needed the people. They needed them on their side. And so they had to scheme behind the scenes in dark and hidden places to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the time came, not a second before, the Lord Jesus gave himself into their hands. He allowed them to take him. He said, I lay down my life, no man takes it from me. And he did lay down his life. Even though they took him, and they bound him, and they whipped him, and they mocked him, scourged him, and gave him a mock trial, and then led him out to crucify him, he laid down his life. He was only allowing them to do what God had planned from all eternity that he would do. He would lay down his life in order to pay the price for our sins. He laid down his life so that we might save our own lives by trusting in him. And the test of a Christian's love, a test here which is given before us, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. He says, you've not chosen me, verse 16, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. He says, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And this is the test. Have we had our hearts changed? Is there any love for Christ? Because if there is, we'll want to obey him. The greatest work that Christ does is to melt our hearts so that we in turn love God. It's one of the greatest miracles ever that we could ever find within us, these dead souls of ours, the life, the spark, to love God and to love one another. And the amazing facts which we're told here, there's a mighty disclosure to these friends, not just servants but friends. He chose us first. He set his love upon us. He looked from all eternity and he said, I'm going to save that person. And when we said, no, you're not, when we said, no, I don't want to know, why, he persisted. And he will persist with you. But why should he chase you all around the world to bring you to himself when you can't see your own need? Now, the verse 18 tells us that the world hates those who love the Saviour. The evidence is there. We've thought about it already. Those countries in the world, Myanmar, Nigeria, we thought about this morning, many other countries where Christ is so hated, the Word of God is so despised, and Christians are put under the sword, and yet they will not deny their Saviour. How can they keep going? How can they not deny the Saviour to save their lives? Well, because they know that Christ has died to save them. He died to save us. He died because he loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, the reason they hate you is because they hate me. And the reason they hate me is because they hate my Father. But it's coming to pass, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Ah, but he says, the Comforter is coming, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. How can men who are the enemies of God be brought into fellowship with God, become friends of God? Well, it's by that work of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who comes and invades our hearts with his love and tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall testify of me. What do we know about the Saviour? Well, we know stories that we may have learned in Sunday school. We've heard about the parables he told. We've heard about the miracles he did. We know that at Easter we're reminded of the cross, where he died upon the cross. And at Christmas, obviously, we think about the manger in the stable at Bethlehem. But do we know him? How can you know him? Well, you can. You can know him and love him, because here he says, the Holy Spirit will come, who proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me. When you're converted, when you're born again, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and he says in your heart, yes, you can trust him. You can believe, and you will believe. And the miracle is that you do. When you're converted, a person who is totally unable to change and doesn't even want to change is brought to the point by the Holy Spirit where they want to be one with Christ, reconciled to God through this glorious Saviour. And then verse 27, to finish off the chapter, and you also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. That's especially true of these disciples. 11 out of 12 of the disciples were still faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas has already left the room to betray the Lord Jesus. And these 11, it's true of them. They've been with him from the beginning. But he's been with us from the beginning. Right from the moment we were born, even before we were born, the Lord Jesus has been there, looking upon us, and we shall be witnesses, because he's been with us. And we've been with him, not as these disciples walking around, but from the beginning of his work in our hearts, and we shall be his witnesses. And this is the testimony. If you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be unashamed to confess that you belong to him. May the Lord bring us all to that point and use us in his service.